You have been called to participate in the very divine nature and character of God, escaping the corruption of the desires of this world so that you might live in holiness and righteousness like your Father.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and today we're talking about the change from the life of sin to a life of righteousness. So, Pastor Philip, I got to ask, this is a hard question. How do we begin to live with the very nature and character of God?
Well, that is what God's doing, right? He's conforming us to the image of his Son. He is making us partakers in the divine nature of God himself. He's destined us for glory. So we're on this journey. And as we move, Paul's going to say, we've got to put off the old. We've got to put on the new. And the key to that, right in the middle, he says, is be renewed by the power of the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is the crucial element here. That, that we have desires that are related to our flesh and our old way of life. And we've got to learn to say no to those. And the Holy Spirit is inside us, indwelling us, giving us new desires that fit with the new life we have in Christ, and fit with the destiny of who we're going to be in glory one day. And so we got to learn to say yes to those. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit himself, as we yield, as we surrender, as we walk with him, that is our transformational journey.
Wow. Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church to see what this change looks like. This is the third part of the sermon, New Life. Now, our text today is Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17 through the end of the chapter to chapter 5, verse 2.
We have a whole new life to live into. We are children of God. We are members of his forever family. We are beloved by the Father. We are redeemed by the Son. We are sealed by the Spirit. We are a people of the new creation, of the kingdom that is coming, and we have a whole new life to live into. So as the Spirit renews us from the inside out, let us put off the old self and put on the new self. Paul, what would that look like? Would you give us some examples so we could get our hands around what you're talking about here? What does this change look like? Well, Paul says, sure, I'll give you five. I'll give you five. From the old to the new to the change. The change. Five examples of this Spirit-led renewal, what it looks like as we put off the old and put on the new. Verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So here's the first example. Put off lying and put on truth. Put off lying, put on truth, because the Holy Spirit is giving you a love for your neighbor, not just for yourself, but for your neighbor. And he's uniting you as members of one body in Christ. And lying only makes sense if it's all about you, right? You're just looking out for yourself, putting your interests above everybody else. But the Spirit's renewing work in your life is making you a person of love so that you learn to speak truth with love to one another, right? Verse 26, second example. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So the second example here is put off sinful, festering, sustained anger that doesn't resolve. Instead, put on daily reconciliation. Daily reconciliation. Because, friends, the Spirit has bound us together as a family. He has bound us together in the bond of peace, right? And the devil would love to divide what the Spirit is unifying and binding together as one. Paul says, don't give him a foothold. Don't let the devil get into that old mess. The Spirit's renewing work means we must maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The third example is in verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So put off stealing and put on honest hard work, because the Spirit gives each one of us grace to share with one another. We're a family in Christ, and families pitch in, families help each other, families bless one another. You don't defraud your family, do you? No. You have obligations and loyalty and love, and the Spirit's renewing work in our lives means we must learn to love one another and generously help out members of our own family. It's changing us. Verse 29, fourth example. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So put off corrupting talk, caustic words that tear down, and instead use constructive, edifying, situationally wise speech. Because the Spirit is leading us to become the kind of people who build one another up in love. We can't be tearing down what God wants to build up, right? And our words matter. The Spirit's renewing work means we must let our words be grace to one another. Verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. This is really an important verse. We're going to come back to it, but we need to skip to the next one, because the fifth example is in verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So put off, and now we have a cluster, right? A word cluster of divisive behaviors. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice, all this relational ugliness, right? Put it off and instead put on kindness, tender-heartedness, forgiveness, because the Spirit is leading us to become people of love for one another, who love others as we ourselves have been loved by God, who in his kindness and grace, in his tender love, in his forgiving mercies, forgave us in Christ Jesus. And having been forgiven by Christ, by God in Christ, we now are to forgive one another. And so the Spirit's renewing work means we must learn to love one another as we have been loved by God. Now just imagine for a moment, back up. Imagine if we would just live like this. Imagine if this whole room lived like this. Imagine if the church that follows Jesus Christ would live like this. It would change the whole world, wouldn't it? It would change the world. We got to stop worrying so much about other people getting in line. We got to start living out this love of Christ. That's what's going to change the world. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I love this. As beloved children, secure in the forever love of our Father, he says, I want you to be imitators of God. Like Father, like child. Yesterday, my family was with some extended family members. We went to a museum, and that we take pictures, right? And I was looking at him last night, and Jude and I were on opposite, Jude's my son, 6 years old. We were on opposite ends of this group, and we both had our hands in our pockets, like this, just standing there for the picture. And we looked exactly the same. And we weren't looking at each other or whatever. And I was like, how did that? Yeah, well, that, like father, like son, right? That's how that happens. Like, he's imitating me to the point where it's muscle memory. He wasn't looking at me and going like, okay, let me do exactly what no, he just did it because that's how he sees me pose for a picture, right? And that's the point here. You have a father. And you're going to grow up. You're going to look like him. So look at him. Follow him. Act like him. Be like him. God says, be holy as I am holy. And he means it. God's intention is that you might look like him in glory. What does that look like, Paul? It looks like walking in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So how do we imitate God our Father? How do we imitate him? We walk in the self-giving, sacrificial love of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we do it. We love as he first loved us. That's how we walk. So we have a Father to imitate. We have the Son to follow. But what about the Holy Spirit? The third member of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, these three are one God, right? Where's the Spirit? Back to verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Friends, you have the Holy Spirit's good pleasure residing inside of you. The Spirit is inside you, indwelling you, urging you on in this new life. And we can sense, can't we? We can sense his delight when we walk in righteousness and holiness after the image of our Father. And we can sense his grief when we fall back into our old ways of sin. Can't we? Can you feel that? Do you know what I'm talking about? When you walk in righteousness to feel the pleasure of God, his delight, his smile upon your life that's coming from the Holy Spirit. And when you fall back into sin, that sick, twisted feeling in your stomach where you can't believe you did that thing all over again, that's the Holy Spirit grieving inside of you. And here's the point. We've got to fine-tune our receptors to start paying attention to the real, living, divine presence inside of us, who is yearning and desiring and longing and prompting in us the Holy Spirit. You see how big a change this is. Instead of being ruled by our desires and our rationalizing self-deception like before, we are now freed to follow the desires of the Spirit into the truth that is the world that really is. As the Spirit desires, we follow his desires, not our desires, but his desires for us and in us. The Spirit desires more than anything that we might become imitators of our Father, conformed to the image of the Son as we live for the good pleasure of the Spirit. He's with us, he's in us, he's for us. The Holy Spirit, friends, is closer than the air you breathe. He's renewing you day by day. He desires and urges and leads, and your job is to keep in step with him. Keep in step with the Spirit. And friends, we have everything we need for life and godliness. We have everything we need for life and godliness. We have a Father to give us a pattern to imitate. We have a Son to show us the way to life. We have the Spirit who is giving us desires that we can follow. And if you wonder if you'll ever make it, because it's fits and starts. It's two steps forward, three steps back, right? I mean, that's how it is so many days. If you ever wonder if you're ever gonna make it, just remember that the Holy Spirit has sealed you for the day of redemption. He's your deposit. He's your guarantee. He's a down payment of the fullness of salvation that will be yours in glory when Jesus Christ appears. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We have everything we need for life and godliness. That's a phrase that comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 down to 4. Let me just read this to you as we wind down. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. This is a totally different author. This is Peter. We're reading Paul in Ephesians. Do you realize they're saying the exact same thing? You have been called to participate in the very divine nature and character of God, escaping the corruption of the desires of this world so that you might live in holiness and righteousness like your Father. This is beautiful. So here's the point. In God's family, we choose to live differently. In God's family, we choose to live differently. It's okay to be different. It's who we are. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. He is a new creation. Amen? So let us walk by the Spirit, following the way of our Jesus, as beloved children imitating our Father. Amen? Amen.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're so glad you're joining us today as we explore how we live in this new identity. Pastor Philip, it's always good to see you. But I gotta ask, how do we reconcile this living with this high calling to holiness, but the constant, it seems it never ends, presence of sin in our lives?
Yeah.
We don't ever seem to get away from it.
Yeah. Well, it's important for us to remember that salvation comes in three chapters, right? There's justification, which is where, you know, God declares us righteous in Christ. That happens when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified freely by His grace.
Yes.
So we are righteous, declared righteous. But then operationally, we're not quite righteous yet, right? We still have sin in our lives. And so that second chapter is sanctification. So justification, chapter one, chapter two, sanctification. This is where we're living right now, where we are yielding to the Holy Spirit. We're learning to walk in holiness. Two steps forward, one step back, sometimes three steps back, right?
Thank you for saying that.
Fits and starts, right? And we're going to make it, you know, it's not one smooth curve up and to the right. It's going to be up and down, and there's going to be good days and bad days. We're going to slip around and make a mess of things, but we're in process. That's the point. It's progressive sanctification. The Spirit is over time, progressively giving us more and more of the character of Christ, helping us grow in holiness as we yield to Him and walk by the power of the Spirit. And then the final chapter is glorification. And this doesn't happen until Jesus returns or we die and go to heaven, right? And that's where God makes us perfect forever, sins eradicated completely. We're never going to sin again. That's going to be a glorious day. But that perfection at the end, that does not come now. That's, we got to wait for that. So we are in the middle, and our lived reality is one of conflicting desires. So the desires of the flesh, Paul will say, that's what he calls it, the desires of the flesh, that's the old way of life. That's our old embodied sort of muscle memory of what it means to be, to live apart from grace and apart from Christ. That's still there at some level. It's not been totally ripped out of our lives. And so we got to fight that. And at the same time, we've got new desires that are coming from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So I've got this war of desires in my soul, desires for righteousness and desires for sin. And the question is, which of those desires are going to dominate my life, my appetites, my behaviors, my choices? Am I going to yield to the flesh or yield to the Spirit? Who am I going to follow? My old way of life, my new way of life? That's where the rubber meets the road, is in this space. And so, for example, just to give a little bit of an illustration, because I know a lot of people deal with this. Let's just say lust, okay? because a lot of people struggle with lust. And let's say lust is in our life at some level. Here's how it works. That's a desire. It's a desire for fulfillment or happiness or satisfaction or validation or something. There's a reason I have that desire. There's a desire underneath it. It's not just for lust. It's for all those deeper things. The reality is the gospel in Jesus Christ, I have all these resources in God. I have validation as a child of God. I've got satisfaction in his presence. He is joy to my life. If I don't cultivate my heart toward those resources, toward all that God is for me, I'm still going to be tempted to go after those cheap substitutes. They're going to have an incredible command over my life.
Hmm.
But the more I turn the appetite of my soul toward God, the more I start to see lust as a cheap knockoff of something that only God can provide.
Yes.
And I start to see that it's a counterfeit. It's a fraud.
Hmm.
And so then I learn to reorient my life toward him. And so in this way, it's kind of interesting that our temptations, which we all have, our temptations can actually be catalysts for spiritual disciplines. Because if I'm tempted to lust, say,
mm-hmm.
it's because I'm not actually sending my soul toward God for the deep needs of my soul. That's why I'm tempted to go after the counterfeit.
Hmm.
And so when I'm tempted to lust, I realize, oh, I haven't spent enough time with God.
Oh, that's good.
And so you can actually pull the punch of a temptation all the way through and allow it to drive you back toward God and say, I actually need more of God. And the temptation is a superficial signal that my soul's been running to the wrong things and I need more of him. And so when I'm tempted, I can actually take that, pull the punch, and run deeper toward God and metabolize the resources of who he is for me, of all that's available in Christ, so that I'm increasingly longing after the right things. So I think we got to recognize that's where we live. We are in this temptation-ridden existence, this conflict of desires.
Never goes away.
Never goes away. And yet, as I feel those desires warring, I've got to learn to leverage them to send me into the right directions so that I start to draw on the resources that are available to me from God through the Holy Spirit as I walk closer to Jesus each and every day. That's the journey. And we're never going to do it perfect, Pastor Larry. It's going to be ups and downs. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, we know God's on the job. And this is his saving work. And we are receiving it, yielding to it, surrendering to it. And as messed up as we are, he's guaranteed the deal. He sealed you and me with the Holy Spirit. And so that means all of this glory that we talked about, that final chapter, that glory is coming, and we know it'll come.
Pastor Philip, I hope our listeners are as encouraged as much as I am, because this is where the rubber meets the road. We're constantly in this battle, but praise God, the Holy Spirit gives us victory. And we now, because we're in Christ, we have a choice. I know next time we're going to be talking about imitating Christ. Now, if you'd like to grow in your relationship with Christ, we have a resource available to you. I know it'll be a blessing for you. Many people turn away from God because of unanswered prayer. When God says no or remains silent, it's easy to conclude that he's indifferent. But what if God looked past the words of your lips to answer the prayers of your heart in a way you never dreamed? Pastor Erwin Lutzer's brand new book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers?, explores biblical examples of unexpected answers to prayer so you can pray like never before. Now, you can be among the first to get your copy of Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? For a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.